Blog Talk Radio.
And good Tuesday morning. Welcome in to the Blog Talk Radio studios. A big day, a lot of things going on in the playoffs last night. We will talk about that in just a little bit. Want to talk about a story just a little bit closer to home, though. If you missed it yesterday, it's been a weird few weeks for Patrick Mahomes. Yesterday, in his hometown, and this, so many details still kind of coming out about this. Basically, Mahomes' home was broken into, and he was robbed at gunpoint, unharmed, uninjured, and it seemed like it was, according to the details at least, seemed like it was not targeted at Mahomes, just Bex popping in, basically. Didn't seem like it was at all targeted at Mahomes. Again, he was uninjured, probably a little bit confused and shaken up, but he will be coming back to Kansas City in just a few days. That one might be delayed just a little bit. Sergeant Darren Coslin of the Smith County Sheriff's Office had this to say: "We believe this offense was a completely random act and the suspect had no idea who he was robbing. He wasn't being targeted or anything. So it doesn't look like there was a whole lot of intent for Patrick Mahomes to be put in the line of fire. There wasn't really a whole lot of, like I said, not a whole lot of intent, but still a scary situation for Patrick Mahomes, and I think he will be very, very happy to come back to Kansas City in just a few days. He will be meeting with the Chiefs once again, just getting done with rookie mini camp. Was able to get a little time at home, however, and now will be coming back to Kansas City. We are just a few weeks away now from the start of OTAs and off-season events, and Mahomes definitely will be back in Kansas City a lot more often, but it's a little bit of a scary situation yesterday for Patrick Mahomes. Again, robbed at gunpoint, quote-unquote gunpoint. There was no actual gun found, but according to the suspects, according to the witnesses, the suspects were acting as if they were armed with handguns. No handguns were found with the situation, however. All right, we will move just a little bit more in the NFL. Do want to talk about something that happened yesterday in Green Bay. It had been noted for quite a while last year in the Green Bay Packers organization that they were favoring Eddie Lacy, but did have a couple of other options at running back. Well, this offseason, they made it very clear what they wanted Eddie Lacy to do. Lacy, who has had a series of injuries, had had some knee injuries, had, I believe last year, an ankle injury. They asked Eddie Lacy to drop a few pounds, which, you know, we can all do. We can, you know, eventually you just got to do it. He was given a $55,000 bonus by the Seattle Seahawks yesterday by weighing in at under 255. They told him to get to 255. That's all he needed to do. He came in yesterday for Seattle and weighed in at 253. So a $55,000 signing bonus for the former Green Bay Packer, now Seattle Seahawk. You know, I'd be okay. getting 55 grand for dropping, you know, 15 pounds. I think that's what he ended up doing, dropping 15 pounds overall. I think I could work out $55,000. I think I could find a way to use that for dropping 15 pounds. Man, the life of an NFL player is just, it's nice. It's very, very nice. When you're getting paid to lose weight, things are good. Things are really good in Eddie Lacy's life right now. But again, 55 grand to lose that much weight. He weighs in now at 253, making him a little more agile, a little bit more stealth of a runner. If a guy at 253 can be stealth, that definitely should help. But that 55K in his pocket definitely helps a little bit too. All right, let's move to the playoffs now. One game in the NBA last night, and a guy that if I would have told you before the playoffs that the big name, the key guy for the Boston Celtics in a must-win game, a game seven, wasn't going to be Isaiah Thomas. It wasn't going to be Al Horford. It wasn't even going to be Avery Bradley. It was going to be Kelly Olynyk. Yeah, Kelly Olynyk, the big center out of Gonzaga. 26 points last night for Kelly Olynyk. And Boston beats Washington 115-105. Boston Celtics get to the Eastern Conference semifinals. They, of course, will match up. A very nice matchup in the Eastern Conference Eastern Conference Finals. That one should be a very good battle between they and the Cleveland Cavaliers. I still think we're setting up for, and I think it's pretty obvious. At least the odds-on bet would be Warriors, Cavs in the NBA Finals this year. I think that's what everybody has kind of scripted in. I think that's what everybody has pretty much penciled in this year. It will be the Cavs and the Warriors. But, man, this Celtics team right now has played very, very well. They get the job done against John Wall's crew in a game that was really, it was back and forth the entire time. I don't think either team had more than a six-point lead in this ball game, just back and forth the entire time. Bradley Beal, 38 points for the Wiz last night, and he led all scorers with that. A little bit of a drop-off, and this hurts to say because I've defended John Wall a lot. I've defended John Wall a lot, and we have to give credit where credit is due. That shot at the end of game six was big, but only 18 points last night. He just was not there for the Wizards last night. And I don't want to say that caused the downfall because you can't always put it on one guy, but man, needed to step up in this game seven. And the Wizards now going home early because of it. Again, the Celtics move on to the Eastern Conference Finals. That will start on Wednesday they will start the Cavs and the Celtics. We'll talk a little bit more about that on tomorrow's show. We will break down that Cleveland-Boston series. A game going on tonight in the Western Conference, game two between the Warriors and the Spurs tonight. Golden State, of course, getting the first game of this series on Sunday night. They get the first game of this series with a nice win over San Antonio. This series has got some bad blood. There is some bad blood. We remember, you harken back just a little bit. Go back to the 90s. And I know, kids, you don't remember this. Go back to the 90s. Go back to those Eastern Conference final game to Heat Knicks. Go back to, well, quite frankly, the Knicks and anybody in those Eastern Conference games. They were tough. They were what we were going to see. see in Golden State San Antonio. I don't think there's going to be quite as many fistfights. I don't think there are going to be any fistfights, but you're going to see some rough and tumble things. And, of course, with Kawhi Leonard out, the Spurs are pretty pissed off right now. San Antonio is pretty pissed off. We saw Coach Popovich yesterday, and I love Coach Pop. I just absolutely love Coach Pop. But he went off on this team, on the Warriors, went off on the officiating, just pretty much anything he wanted to go off on. Pop did it. So still no exact timetable on when we will see Kawhi Leonard. He is out, however, for this game too. But again, this one should be back and forth. This one will be as good as those Eastern Conference games were in the 90s. A lot of bad blood between these two. A lot of big things could potentially go down. That at 8 o'clock start tonight on ESPN. Spurs and Warriors again. Game one going to the Warriors now. Game two, the Spurs trying to tie this thing up again, get back to a level playing field. But again, without Kawhi Leonard, man, it is going to be tough for the Spurs to keep into this series with the Warriors. I still think San Antonio takes this thing to at least six games, just because I think they are San Antonio. I think they have the fighting shot, but it's going to be very, very tough for them to not only overcome the Kawhi Leonard injury, but also just overcome a great offense that the Golden State Warriors had. We see a lot of guys putting up some big, big numbers. So we'll see how that works out in the next few games. I think San Antonio must win this game tonight, though. I don't think they can go down two games to nothing and just try to make up any gain in this series. If they were to go down two games to nil, it might be over quickly for San Antonio. But again, 8 o'clock tonight, ESPN is where you can find Spurs and Warriors. Last night in the NHL, this game, you know, you look at the box score, you just look at the flat-out score in this game, you thought, what a boring game. What a boring, absolutely terrible hockey game. No, this thing was brilliant, absolutely brilliant hockey last night in Game 2. Of the Eastern Conference Finals between the Pittsburgh Penguins and Ottawa Senators. It was Pittsburgh getting the victory last night, 1-0, a late goal in this thing for the Penguins get the victory, a third period goal, just back and forth the entire time. Defense in this game. Shots were going left and right and left and right. Finally, it was a Phil Kessel goal in the third period with about 13 minutes left in the third period. Put the Penguins up for good. Goal play was very, very interesting in this game. Marc-Andre Fleury, 23 saves on all 23 shots. Just an excellent game for Marc-Andre Fleury. Craig Anderson on the opposite side, the goalie for Ottawa, 28 saves, but Pittsburgh was on the attack the entire night at the goal. Craig Anderson, 28 saves, 29 shots, however, and the Penguins get the 1-0 win. Again, a late goal by Phil Kessel getting the victory for the Penguins, tying that series up at one game apiece. Game 3 coming up tonight as well. That one should be a nice matchup. We'll see just as much bad blood in this thing. And we saw some hits, and Ottawa was putting down some hits last night. If they were judged, if the score was indicative of the hits, Ottawa would have won this thing by a million. They were just putting it down last night. Penguins Senators tomorrow night, 7 o'clock is where you can find Pittsburgh and Ottawa. Tonight in the NHL, however, one game that one going on in the Western Conference, game three between the Ducks and the Predators after a very nice game on Sunday night, seeing the Ducks get the 5-3 victory late in this game. They get the in the second period, they get three goals and then add one on late to end this thing. But Anaheim trying to go now to get the game three victory again, that one tonight. NBC Sports Network is where you will find Anaheim and Nashville. We've waited long enough. It is time to talk Royals. A lot going on tonight. The Royals, after an off night yesterday, they now go back and will take on the New York Yankees. They play now the Yankees six times in the next nine games. This is a Yankees team. Guys, we normally say, oh, the Yankees are coming in. Well, mark it up for three L's. This is a Yankees team that's been exposed recently. They have been exposed. They have won, they have lost four of their last five games. They were beaten down on Derek Jeter night, and don't let that score fool you at all. That game was an absolute beatdown on Sunday night by the Astros. They controlled that thing from the beginning. The Yankees end up losing 10-7, but man, this thing was all Astros throughout this ballgame. They got up very early and just continued to pour it on. But again, the Yankees right now, losers of four of their last five games. They are on a definite down course right now, and Kansas City has to pour it on them tonight. Again, that opens the series tonight, 7:15 at the K. CeCe Sabathia going to the mound for the Yankees. He matches up against Jason Hamill. Sabathia 2-2 with a 5.77 ERA, 27 strikeouts in his last four outings, a 2.70 ERA. He has brought down his ERA, his season ERA. In the first three games of the season, he was 8.14, but he has dropped that down. So doing very well recently. But I think if Kansas City can get on the board early, it might discourage the Bronx Bombers a little bit. And if Jason Hamill can keep and let's face it, Jason Hamill has not been good to start this year, but if he has a chance to make a good start, tonight would be it. It would be a nice little thing if they were able to string together some strikeouts for Jason Hamill tonight, if they can get that done, string together some runs and allow Jason Hamill to get some strikeouts. He has 31 strikeouts on the year in his six appearances. So if he is able to do that again tonight, and not have the outing that he did last time, giving up 13 hits against Tampa on Wednesday. If he can have some sort of a decent outing and the offense can pick him up a little bit, the Royals can continue to hop on this New York Yankees team. I think this right now is a Yankees team that is on the downtrend. And if Kansas City can do what they do best, and that is some good pitching, then there is a very nice chance that the Royals get a victory. I'm not saying a sweep in this series, but I'd like to see two of the three. I really would. And again, this is just the first of six games that they will have against the Yankees in the next 2 weeks. They head up to Yankee Stadium just coming up in a little bit. They take on the Yankees for three, then the Twins for three, and then back to the Yankees. Back to Yankee Stadium. So this is more of a tone setter, I think, for the rest of the six games. I think if Jason Hamill can come out and do what he does best, and that's hit the strike zone, then it could be a very nice night for Kansas City. But again, Royals and Yankees tonight, 7:15 from the K. This one should be a good one. Looking forward to seeing Sabathia taking on Jason Hamill. All right, that is all I have for today. Have a great day. We will see you back here for the Hump Day edition of 15 Minutes of Fame.